brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the world's largest race and sports book and the Super Contest.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
We are back after a three-day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Martin Luther King Day. Hope your holiday was a good one. I'm Dave Koken. Wes Reynolds is here. Brand new episode of the Las Vegas Sports Line. Jared Justice, our producer, and it's Superbook USA Tuesday, which means Jeff Sherman will be along in a little bit, and obviously a lot to talk about, although the props aren't up yet, but we'll find out the scheduled day and release time for that massive prop sheet that they put out every year at Superbook USA. It's the biggest. They're the kings. They're the originators of the monster props. And it gets bigger every year, Wes.
There's a couple of shops around town that have your general props that they're always going to put up in terms of alternate point spreads or the safety, stuff like that, your basic meat and potatoes props that you're always going to have. But, yeah, come this Thursday is when you're going to start to get the mass props. And then, of course, the following week where they put the cross-sport props out in terms of with NBA games that I know Jeff Sherman likes to do with golf score.
And next boxing.
Week, yeah.
There's going to be some kind of cross-sport prop involving the Super Bowl and the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight.
Right.
Yeah. So they have loads of fun stuff.
And they like to do that. I mean, putting it against, let's say, who plays at the Phoenix Open, like Brooks Koepka's final round score versus somebody's receiving yards. Or you get all kind of really cool cross sport props if you're interested in doing that.
We'll maybe get some hints on some of the more fun stuff that Jeff and the guys will have available at Superbook USA when he joins us in just a few minutes. So, well, we'll put a wrap on conference championship weekend. Not a lot of suspense, Russ. These games were over in a hurry. The Chiefs, again, made it interesting for a quarter.
Came out flat again.
Yep, the other team comes flying out of the gate. But the interesting thing is, at no point outside of about 30 seconds on the in-game betting, were the Chiefs underdogs. There was, I believe when it went to 17-7, for about 30 seconds, the Chiefs were very small dogs, I think plus a half point. And that lasted, again, it was, boom, got eaten immediately by the live bettors, and the Chiefs were favored even when down 10, and obviously remained that way for the entire game.
Right, yeah, they because they got down the field when that dog price flashed, they were like, on the other team's 30 in about 5 seconds, it seemed like. And
I don't even know how many people would have gotten a chance to bet it.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest, I was going to bet it. Because it's like, well, I know I'm going to get a plus on the other side, so I'll just set myself up for a plus-plus, even a small one.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I went to hit the bet button, it was goodbye, not available, frozen.
Right, and look, I think we've got a great matchup here. I think we've got who I feel, I know Kansas City wasn't the number one seed, but we do have the two best teams. And look, onto the 49ers game, I kind of mentioned last week, maybe they've been undervalued and still being undervalued, even laying 7-7 in the hook, and it proved to come to fruition because they've clearly been the best team, I think, in the NFC all year.
Yeah, you can give them a pass for the games where they had some injury issues, multiple injuries on defense that obviously affected them.
When they got those three starters back, because they got in the Minnesota game in the divisional round, they got Tart back in the secondary, they got Quan Alexander back, and they got D Ford. When they were fully healthy, they were holding teams to some very low point totals. I believe the average was like 11 points when those guys were in the lineup.
And so we get a Super Bowl where your choice of offensive philosophies is probably going to determine what you bet. If you favor the passing team, you're going to like the Kansas City Chiefs. If you favor the team that wants to run the football and put together, if you will, ball control drives, then you're going to favor the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I think it's very difficult to make a negative case for either of those philosophies.
Yeah,
the Chiefs really throw it well. I mean, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game, and the 49ers absolutely excel at their offensive philosophy.
One of the things that is worrisome, though, on the San Francisco side is, and I know that Mostert had, because I had a lot of his props over the weekend, he had this career game and this monster outing.
Did you see the Wikipedia page that somebody edited his Wikipedia page? It got taken down, but it had his accomplishments, and somebody had added, owns the Green Bay Packers.
Well, he certainly did, and he got more carries than even I anticipated he was going to get with the Tevin Coleman injury. I do think that that can be an important injury. It's an arm injury, still listed as questionable, has not officially been ruled out, but Coleman is a guy that's an important piece of that Shanahan offense, and that dates back to their days together in Atlanta when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. They like to throw the ball out of the backfield to Tevin Coleman. He's not a guy that's a 20, 25 carry a game type of guy, but they like to get him the ball in the space, and he's a very good pass catcher out of the backfield. So that does take a little bit of something away if he can't go here.
I have to comment on what you see some really ridiculous stuff on Twitter. And I'm not sure where this originated. It was a verified tweeter, so it's somebody from our sports world. And they were talking about Shanahan being an example of nepotism.
Oh.
And it's like, because he got his opportunity because his name was Shanahan. And to a certain extent, that's probably true that he got looked upon sooner because his name is Shanahan. But that's not nepotism. It's also recognizing that this guy probably watched more game film by the time he was 12 than most current coaches do in their entire lives.
Well, let me expand on that and give you some data here. In terms of Kyle Shanahan's impact on quarterbacks, and I'll do this real quickly before we get Jeff on the line. When he was with Matt Schaub, led him to a Pro Bowl, 4,800 yards.
Matt Schaub.
Yeah, RG3 was the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year in Washington when he was the coordinator there. Matt Ryan, 2016, MVP and appeared in the Super Bowl, had about 5,000 yards, a career year. And now Jimmy G into the Super Bowl. This guy can coach and this guy can scheme and game plan with the best of them.
I found the nepotism observation beyond ridiculous.
Right.
Other than that, yeah. It
is who you know. Like anything in life.
But it's not like somebody who gets a gig because his dad is so-and-so and he has no qualifications for the job whatsoever. But Kyle Shanahan was qualified from day one, okay? Stupid take. Anyway, it was, Jared. It was a stupid take. Sometimes people say things for shock value, I guess, and that was one of them.
Hot takes,
yes. I got to get the 2020 vernacular down. Joining us right now, you can follow him on Twitter at Golf Odds. You can follow Wes Reynolds at WesReynolds1. You can follow me at Dave Koken. It is Jeff Sherman from Superbook USA, and Jeff is, I'll say, one of the five busiest people in Las Vegas this week. It might be a tie. It might be a larger group than that, but you're certainly tied for first, Jeff, because you are part of the team putting together this extraordinary lineup of props for this next Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're on remote right now at the Ed Salmon's compound working on these things to get them up by Thursday evening.
So, it'll be a Thursday night. Do you have any idea on the volume, on the number of props that you will end up at?
Well, last year it was somewhere around 400, and we've added a few more since that. So probably just exceeding 400.
400 props. That's amazing.
It's just so, and you know, look, the difference between now and a few years ago is, I think this is fair, Jeff. If you go back, I don't know, 10 years, you didn't have to be on the button with every number. It was a very casual betting audience, people having fun. $5, $10, $20 bets, might see a $100 bet. That market has completely changed over the last few years. It's way more sophisticated, so you guys have to be really sharp.
Yeah, and that's what we gear towards, opening them on Thursday night at 7 p.m., is we just have a line where you can get two limit bets and then go back to the back of the line, and it's just all sharp action that whole first evening. And we really try to tighten the numbers up for that type of action. And then as the week goes on, we might alter it towards the next weekend when the public gets in town, and they look to bet everything yes and over, and we can shape it based on the early action we saw.
Now, I did see something, I think it was on your timeline on Twitter, that you're going to have, obviously, a lot of cross-sport props, but one of them, at least one of them, is going to involve the heavyweight title fight taking place here in Las Vegas in the not-too-distant future. That should be fun.
Yeah, we're going to involve the Fury-Wilder fight on February 22nd. So it's not too far out, and it's such a big event. A few other things, too, we're looking at cross-sport-wise. We haven't done any tennis before, but with the men's final, the Australian Open, finishing up that night, February 2nd, we're going to include something with that. And to finish off the cross-sport ones, we're going to include a few Las Vegas Raider props.
Ooh. And anything in the Golden Knights?
Yeah, we always have the Knights involved. So, wherever we can fit them, we will.
They'll have the Phoenix Open, and know Jeff loves to do those cross-sport props with the golf final round score versus somebody's rushing yards or receiving yards, and then NBA. So whatever you want to bet, they're going to have it over there at Superbook USA.
Now, as far as the app is concerned, what will be on the app?
Well, we'll get the props up Thursday evening at 7 p.m. until we close at 11, and they'll only be available over the counter at that time just because of everyone waiting in line.
Right.
And then when we open up Friday morning at 8, then everything that we have up will be available on the app.
That's just another reason. If you don't have your mobile account yet at Superbook USA, get it. Because, look, if you're a serious player, that's great, but the majority of people listening right now and the majority of people are going to be in action are going to be just having fun. And, hey, if you want to stand in line forever to make $5 bets, I guess you can do that. But it's a lot easier to be sitting at whatever party you're attending, or even if you're at the Superbook for the big game, and make your little wagers and have a blast right over your phone. It's easy.
Well, that's just the premise of it. You know, we have so many things available for this stuff. You can bet them all through the week, and then if you don't want to wait line a weekend of the Super Bowl Saturday and Sunday, you can get everything down, and then you don't even have to come in and run them through the machines. The cash goes right into your account when we grade the prop. So it just makes the whole process so much easier if anyone wagers that way.
Jeff, big day yesterday in the NBA.
Oh, well, before we go to the NBA, I want to mention one other thing. There is one reason to stand in line, but you don't really have to stand in line. This year, first time ever that's been this early, Super Contest entries are available, and there should be a big rush on those on Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, this is the first time that we've had them available this early, so we're going to capture that Super Bowl crowd. Last year we started before March Madness, but this year, and we're doing it before Super Bowl, we've got 17 people that have already signed up for the Classic Contest, 2 for the Gold and 1 for the Reboot. So wherever we go from here, we're ahead of the game already, and it just gives a lot more people the opportunity to get involved.
Jeff, now going over to the NBA. Yesterday, of course, a big day with 28 teams in action on Martin Luther King Day, as is accustomed in the NBA. And just kind of getting your impressions on what you saw yesterday. Look, Kemba Walker finally, he had two different milestones, one good and maybe one not good yesterday. He finally beat LeBron James. He was 0-28 against LeBron James. That was that old, if you remember, Vitas Garolitis.
Yep.
And when he had that losing streak against Jimmy Connors, and he goes, no one beats Vitas Garolitis 17 times in a row. So Kemba Walker gets off the schneid against LeBron, but then he gets a record broken for he had the most points ever on Martin Luther King Day, I believe, 3 years ago. And Damian Lillard absolutely shatters that in the late game, and Portland needed every bit of them against Golden State.
Yeah, and what we saw out of the Boston Lakers game, and that Boston needed that game a lot more than the Lakers. Lakers had been 18-3 on the road. You know, they know where they're at right now, but Boston had been reeling, and that was a big game for them, and it was evident how they came out with energy in that. And when you're talking about Damian Lillard and what he's doing, he needs to do that because that Portland team has a lot of issues, a lot of injuries, and the only way they can really win some games is when he takes control of the game.
The Lakers were not interested yesterday. I think it's fair to say that. That was a very bad performance, but it's just one game, and they're going to be fine. Their co-tenants in Staples Center are the Los Angeles Clippers, and they will be in the only NBA game tonight. It's a good matchup, though. If you're going to have one game, how about the Clippers and Mavericks?
Yeah, it's a good one. You know, the only thing is there's a couple key pieces missing. Paul George out for the Clippers, and we're still waiting to see about Kristaps Porzingis for Dallas. He's been out for, I believe, 10 games now. But right now we have Dallas minus 2, 232.5 on the total, and it should be a fun one to watch. I mean, even with Paul George out, Kawhi Leonard's been stepping up, so I'm sure he'll carry the team on his back like he's been doing.
Jeff, do you anticipate in terms of the futures prices? It's probably going to be negligible, I'm guessing, but with the Clippers here, they have not been the defensive team that I think a lot of us thought that they were going to be, partially because they never seem to have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court together at the same time. We know the ceiling is high, but do you think maybe there's going to be a little drift upwards on this Clippers futures price, or just pretty much keep it where it is and just assume they're going to flip the switch come playoff time?
Well, we have drifted them up a little bit. We were sitting at 5-2 a few weeks back, and we recently raised them up to 3-1. So they're the highest point they've been since the start of the season. But we're not going to get too much higher than that because they are building everything for the playoffs. Nothing to be concerned about during the regular season. Like you said, they've had players in and out due to injury. Defensively, too, you can't forget about Patrick Beverley. He's a big piece of that defensive core. So They'll be fine, and they're totally built for the playoffs. And I think, you know, they're obviously going to be the biggest challenger to the Lakers in the West.
I want to mention a team in the East. And, you know, I always preface this by saying I follow the NBA a little more closely than I follow soccer, and that's about it. But the Pacers, if they've got their whole lineup out there, which they figure to have as the season progresses, why can't they win the Eastern Conference or at least make a big run at it?
Because there's a team called the Milwaukee
Bucks.
Well,
all right. I understand it, but listen, what I'm suggesting is, you know, could they get to the finals and of the Eastern Conference? And you know, anything can happen in a short series.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year with the Warriors experiencing all their injuries, and all it takes is one little ankle or something to Giannis to affect everything in the Eastern Conference. But if you're looking for a price that's workable, they've been playing great basketball. Philly's been going through their injuries with them beat out, and they're kind of sitting in the middle of the pack. Boston's been struggling recently. So Milwaukee's so far ahead of everyone. Mm-hmm. We have a minus money right now to win the conference.
Wow.
And as long as they're healthy, I don't see anyone beating them out of the Eastern Conference unless a healthy Philly team puts up a performance like they did on Christmas Day against them.
Pacers would be the team, I think, to bet for 2021, for next season, because they're going to have some value, and got to see Oladipo and Brogdon, how they're going to play together and mesh together. Sabonis, absolutely at an all-star level. So they're the team to look for, yeah, I think, next season.
To me, the tricky team is the 76ers. I actually did watch some NBA yesterday, and Ben Simmons had himself quite a day. And, you know, if Simmons can consistently deliver and Embiid is on the floor healthy, I mean, there's no reason that team can't put together a run, Jeff.
No, they can, absolutely. And I think it's good for Ben Simmons with Embiid missing time and him, you know, developing more into the role of a leader on this team. So when Embiid comes back, then they're going to be that much more of a complete team. So I don't think Embiid's going to be out much longer, but like I said, they're going to be the team, no matter where they finish in the East, that no one's going to want to play, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be the number two challenger to Milwaukee.
I think at the beginning of the season, we might have said that there's one team nobody wants to play in the Western Conference of the NHL come playoff time, and it might be the Golden Knights. I'm not sure people feel that way anymore. Golden Knights, one of 10 teams in action tonight as the NHL heads toward the All-Star break. Tough assignment for Vegas. They are at Boston against the Bruins team that figures to be a little bit unhappy after blowing a 3-0 lead on Sunday and losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's a bad loss for the Bruins. The Golden Knights 1-0-1. Under coach Peter DeBoer, but the same old habit reared its head in the game against the Montreal. They fell behind 3-0 in the first period. They did come back to force an overtime and then a shootout and lost it there. But man, this is becoming a really troubling trend with them.
Yeah, I don't expect it to last once we get past the All-Star break, because DeBoer is he's implementing incremental changes right now, not going full scale like he wants to when he can have the 10 days off and get everyone on a different page. But he doesn't want to tweak too much now leading up to the All-Star break, so I think tonight we'll see more of what we've seen from the first half of the season of the Knights, and then I think things will change for the better for him after the All-Star break.
Let's hope so. Obviously, I would suspect there hasn't been a lot of future action lately on the Golden Knights, and with them falling down the ladder somewhat, which teams, if any, in the Western Conference in particular, have been garnering some future book action?
Well, we bumped the Knights up to 12-1, and they're actually garnering the most support now that they're 12-1. So even though the performance hasn't been there on the ice, the local support is there at the betting window on them. It's been them in Colorado in the West and Pittsburgh in the East. Those are the three that are really standing out lately.
I put some money on Pittsburgh last week.
Well, I don't blame you. And look, I'm a Golden Knights fan / Bruins fan, so I have a tough call tonight. 12-1. I mean, good luck if you bet it. But that's a terrible price. I mean, it's a good price. It's a smart price from your standpoint, because you know you're going to get the action, Jeff, and you have to adjust accordingly. But from a better standpoint, I don't know why anybody's taking a price like that. They have to be, realistically, in my mind, at least 20-22-1.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at this number that we're at from a booking standpoint, yep, the liability is already getting up there where they are our largest liability of the top 15 teams, our contenders. And if we go higher, it adds up so quickly that we'll be in a position like we were seasons 1 and 2, where you can't overcome that in the playoffs.
Where are the Blues? Because to me, and at least in the West, they really do look like the best team.
Yeah, we've got them at 8-1, the leading contender in the West, with Colorado right behind them. So they're leading the way as far as the odds go in the Western Conference with how consistent they've been this, the start of the season.
Jeff, the PGA Tour season technically underway, but I think for most people it gets underway really this week.
Yep.
A really good event over in Dubai, the Dubai Desert Classic, but the better field is at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy make their debuts in the 2020 calendar year. John Rahm, a former winner here a couple years ago, is kind of sandwiched in between them in the odds board, but there's a lot of good players. There are a lot of good players, and you could actually get some decent prices with some guys that are top 20 to top 30, 40 players in the world down the board this week at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, and that's where I'm looking past the top guys. I've got McIlroy 7-1, Rahm 9-1, and Tiger 12-1. Tried to go a little bit higher than market on those three guys, track some money on them, and I go down the odds list on an open tournament like this, and you know, on this type of course, I'm looking at guys like Ryan Palmer at 50 or 60 to 1.
I played Ryan Palmer.
Griffin at 60 to 1. I put those two in a matchup. They look like two of the guys that really can contend from the outside. Those are the two I'm interested in playing in the outright markets.
Jeff, what's the setup at Torrey Pines? What kind of player does it favor?
Well, a longer player. You know, the South Course is the longest par 72 on tour at 7,700 yards, and then greens in regulation. So you're going to have to find guys like that. You know, Tiger used to be excellent there, but that was in different times. So, you know, a guy like Ryan Palmer should fit this perfectly, and that's what I'm looking for.
I think I saw Finau at 25-1. Is that right?
Yeah, I opened him 30. We've taken some action on him. He's down to 25-1. He's an incredibly long hitter, and a lot of people are tipping him this week.
And I'm in that group, but my one worry on Tony Finau, and it is a worry, is that he's going to be one of those guys who's just always around the top 10 and can never finish. An American version of Louis Oosthuizen. He's always going to be on the board, but forget about it. Sunday, he's just not going to be able to close the show. I'm starting to get that impression on him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I could equate him to how Paul Casey or Matt Kuchar are.
Yep.
They've been like that for years, where they'd be top 10 and just never get the wins, and the wins are so rare for them. And that's how it feels with Finau. He just doesn't win all the tournaments, even though he finishes well.
One thing to point out very quickly, this is played on two courses, the South course for the full weekend, but they split between the North and the South. They made the Weisskopf design at the North course a little tougher, but it is the far easier course. It's like 450 yards shorter, because the South course at Torrey Pines is going to host next year's U.S. Open in 2021. Yeah. So they have lengthened it and made it a little bit tougher. So if you're doing in-play, capitalize on the guys that are playing the North course, because that is going to be the far easier scoring conditions.
There you go. Let's talk Major League Baseball, because the season win totals, regular season win totals, are now up at Superbook USA. And I guess the automatic question is, based on what's happening off the field right now, does this end up impacting the volume in a negative way, because people are really pissed off at the sport?
It hasn't so far. Since we put these up, the action's been brisk. Some of the California teams are getting supported with the Angels over their wins, the Giants over their wins. And then as far as the division odds, the largest wager we've taken is the Twins to win their division, going from minus 110 favorites to minus 125. So right when the windows opened up with all the baseball stuff that Randy and the guys got up, it's been flowing nicely.
I'm glad you got the Twins favored, because that's, I think I'm going to be taking some kind of a stance on the White Sox this season. But I want to talk about the Astros, and look, they're the central figure in this scandal. Is that impacting the betting on them in terms of maybe getting some under-wins action, because people believe they're going to have a shadow hanging over them that's going to be a distraction, or because people just hope they lose now?
Well, when that happened and we opened the wins up, we made them a few wins less than we had originally scheduled to do. So we opened them at 94 when they could have been in the 96, 96 and a half range. And it impacted our number on what's going on with them and our expectations. So nothing at the window yet on them. But, you know, I think with the adjustment made, it makes people think about what's going on with the team.
Any surprises outside of the SoCal teams? And you mentioned the Giants as well. Maybe on some other teams, either direction early on.
No, that's about it. Just those ones. We've had just sporadic money throughout the rest of them, but nothing overwhelming like those two.
Jeff, looking here at soccer, of what's going on this week, whenever we're going to get Champions League back into action. So hopefully that'll pick up the midweek. I don't think that's for another couple weeks, but we do have a lot of midweek futures, especially in the EPL.
Yeah, the Champions League returns after the Super Bowl, but we've already got lines on those games and advanced prices on those ties. And then the midweek going on right now, we have the EPL, and the interesting thing on Thursday is Liverpool. They're playing at Wolverhampton, and it'll be we need to see how they can continue this unbeaten run that they've been on. You know, they're trying to catch the Arsenal Invincible team and make it through the season without a loss, and so far they've been running nicely with that, and so well so that we've had to close the future book on the EPL futures, and they would have been a 1 to 100 favorite, and we just decided to close it at this point.
1 to 100? Wow. That's pretty substantial.
That's like the odds for Derek Jeter to make the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah, really, I know, huh?
It's equivalent.
Yeah, that'd be, well, you can't even get a price on that. Forget about it. How's the baby, Jeff? We got to check in with baby golf odds.
Yeah, Kaylee's doing great. I mean, she's growing quickly before our eyes, and, you know, she's almost doubled in size in the 6 weeks that she's been around, so it's healthy and fantastic.
Is she going to be making a selection on the Super Bowl?
She is, and so far I think she's leading to my home state of California. Yeah. That's what she's been telling me. So I'm not saying which team, but you can derive that one.
Well, I hope she's right based on where I'm going to be. Oh, and I meant to add, I left out the most important question of this whole conversation. The Lions won right now at Superbook. The Chiefs are favored. Where do you see it ending up?
Well, right now the action has been a little bit tilted towards the Kansas City side from the betting public, but we've seen some sharp play when we went to Kansas City 1.5, so we're back to 1 on the Chiefs, and it's tough. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely not going to hit 3 on either side.
No.
It's going to stay in this range near pick, but I think the sharps are going to be on the Niner side and the public are going to be on the Chiefs, and I think it's just going to hover right around this pick line.
I haven't bet it yet. I was hoping to get a +2. With San Francisco. Am I going to get it, or should I just take the 1 or 1.5 if I can find it?
And it just depends on some spots, on how they react to their house guests. And there's some 1.5s out there, and some places might go to that. I don't expect us to go to that. We're sitting at 1, and, you know, we did open this at Pick'em, so I could see it going back there. Mm. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting when the bulk of the action comes in next weekend to see what people really do, because that's where the it's going to be driven, is from all the play. We get 80% of it come next Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
And, you know, the weird thing is this is going to be one of those Super Bowls where the action in this part of the state, as opposed to Reno and Lake Tahoe, is going to be completely different. They're going to get more Niners action up there because it is Niners country.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So some of the books up there, if you're looking for the Chiefs side, you might be able to find Picker +1 on the Chiefs up there if you're in northern Nevada.
Yeah. And that's why those mobile accounts are so nice. They are, because they work any place in the state of Nevada. Jeff, it's always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you next week, and I'll let you know who people are betting in the props.
There you go.
Thank you, Jeff.
Next week we'll have a lot of fun doing this segment. It'll be we might ignore the other sports next week and just do a whole bunch of Super Bowl props. Follow Jeff Sherman on Twitter at Golf Odds. Wes Reynolds is here with me, Dave Cook, and you can follow Wes on Twitter at Wes Reynolds 1. And you can follow me at Dave Cook. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get you an angle of the day and then look at the Tuesday night college basketball slate, and it's a good one.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
Yeah, well, that's where I'll be tomorrow for lunch. So if I'm a little late getting in for the show, Wes, you can just have to cover for me because, you know, I'm not going to rush through lunch at
I believe your former partner is going to be in tomorrow for a rare cameo appearance, that being Matt Eumanns. That's what I was informed
of. Is he coming in?
Yes,
Matt will be with
so.
Me at lunch.
Yes.
So, oh, cool.
So, getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Token and Eumanns. How about that?
I like it. Let's talk about a trend involving San Diego State basketball. And this is when they are a home favorite off back-to-back wins in the role of favorite. Well, they've been favored in basically every game, so they certainly qualify off back-to-back wins as a favorite. And they just keep going under the total in these situations, 22-3 to the under. And they're not just going under by a little. The average margin to the total, under the total by 10.6 points per game. So even with a low number, and the odds makers keep adjusting for this because the specific trend might not be public, but certainly the tendency is very public with this outstanding defense the Aztecs play. They can't make the number low enough.
Right.
And it's in the teens tonight. And it's going to get under action anyway.
if you've got the stomach to take Wyoming at plus 23, this is, I don't know if I do, but this is a little bit of a tricky spot for SDSU. They did beat UNR at home on Saturday.
Right.
Two big games on deck, back-to-back, at all of a sudden a resurging UNLV,
who's
off to a
now?
Really good start, yeah. And then going to New Mexico to play in the Pit, back-to-back road games. So maybe this is a spot where Wyoming hangs around just enough, but it is a leap of faith to take these guys.
Yeah, it is. Wyoming's still winless in conference. They're trying hard, but they're just not a very good basketball team. Ralph Michaels, who you can follow at Cal Sports on Las Vegas, or on Twitter. Cal Sports LV? Is it Cal Sports LV? I always forget.
Yes.
Follow Ralph there for more interesting stats and angles that he publishes on a daily basis, and you can check out more of Ralph's stuff at Wager Talk. We got a big schedule tonight in college basketball in terms of really attractive matchups. There's a lot of good games, and we might as well start at the very top of the schedule with the first game of the rotation, Wes. That's the Butler-Villanova game, and Butler maybe a little step backwards last couple of games. Do they get it back together against Nova here?
Yeah, I took them in the overnight at plus four. Didn't quite get the 4.5. But look, all of a sudden, Butler, they lose that game to Seton Hall last Wednesday. We were in here talking about that. And then the hangover comes sometimes when you lose a game. You lose that next game on that same night. And they were just very flat out of the gate at DePaul. DePaul had a high sense of urgency, had been winless in the Big East. So that was kind of DePaul's home run effort. But now Butler, I think, now that they lose a couple games, it's like, oh my God, they're a fraud. They're not any good. Nobody wants them. And that's when I scoop in and want them, because you're looking at Villanova, you're saying, wow, Villanova can only be a 3.5 or 4 point favorite over Butler. But I think Butler's
power
legit.
Like, power rate's like one.
Yeah, the power ratings are a lot closer. I think Butler's legit. They're a good defensive team, and I expect that they're going to give Villanova all they want at the Pavilion.
I don't know whether I'll win or lose this game, but I know I bet it last night because it's like, this is a good number. This number is going to go up, and I'm probably going to get at least 2 points of value here. And I bet Kansas minus 15 last night against Kansas State and sent it out to my customers. And sure enough, it's, you know, 17. I think there's some 17.5 out there. It's just, to me, if you know you're going to get a couple points, the best of it, you just do it. That's all. Mm-hmm. And so I did it. And if it doesn't get there, that's the way it goes. Because, you know, both teams play defense more than offense, especially Kansas State, at least. They're going to try and slow the tempo. But still, to me, I know I got value with Kansas here.
Kansas State, off their home run effort, really,
oh,
of the year. 1.2 points per possession, which is off the charts good for a team that's not a very good offense that Bruce Weber has in Manhattan for Kansas State.
They beat the press.
Yes.
And got easy look after easy look against West Virginia.
Yeah, that was basically the ball game there. But now you get them having to come back to Lawrence, and all of a sudden, look, maybe they got a little chip on their shoulder. There's something to be said for that for Kansas, because look who's number one. It's the Baylor Bears who leap over Gonzaga, and Baylor got all they wanted last night from Oklahoma.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, and I was on Lon's guys, and he has a way of covering and staying in those games. But look, now Kansas is kind of, I don't want to call them yesterday's news, but all of a sudden they're not getting all the hype and all the pub. Maybe they come out and they're like, we're going to show these guys who's boss that we're still the man and we're still the team to beat in this league.
By the way, Gonzaga wins two games last week by like 1,000, and they go backwards in the polls.
Yeah, I don't understand why they dropped.
Good luck to Pacific this weekend. Pacific is the next opponent for Gonzaga, and they're a pretty good team, but you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, because got a feeling Gonzaga is going to take the court a little bit angry in that game. Illinois and Purdue tonight, and you might see Purdue taking the court a bit angry, because this is a second meeting, and the first meeting this season, 63-37.
Yeah,
Illinois wins that game. Purdue with some major revenge tonight.
Purdue in that first game in Champaign, 0.6 points per possession, which is paltry. They shot 15 of 60 from the floor. 25%.
Paltry, I think.
But yeah, paltry. Paltry was better than what Purdue was, I guess, that night. But look, Illinois, they got ranked. I mean, I don't know how this Illinois team is ranked, but they are.
I think this is Underwood, who's got his guys in there now, and we know what a good coach he is.
Yeah,
at Stephen F. Austin, and he was doing some great things at Oklahoma State before he went for the money. And I don't blame him for going for the money because it's also a better ceiling.
Right.
Illinois. Now he's starting to get his players in there.
And they've got Purdue started a four-game winning streak that went over them. They won at Wisconsin. They beat Rutgers at home. They had that week off. I was on Northwestern Saturday. Northwestern pretty much hung with them the whole game. Illinois only by four. But look, Purdue is playing defense at a really elite level. You can't really say that offensively, but Purdue's one of the top defensive teams in the country. They were in the game with Maryland on Saturday. It was a pretty darn ugly game. Maryland led the whole way, but Purdue kind of kept plugging back, hanging around a little bit in that second half, just couldn't get over the hump. I think this is a really good spot for the Boilermakers here, and I laid it.
Maryland is at Northwestern, and the reason I mentioned this game is that if you're just blindly backing every home team in the Big Ten, you're winning some money. And Northwestern is a good-sized home dog tonight against the Terrapins, who I don't know if they're convincing people that they're a real good team or not. They're obviously good, but they don't look elite, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and Northwestern, only seven losses overall. I think it's like either 40-7 or 41-7 for home teams so far. Wow. In the Big Ten. Two of those seven losses are the Northwestern Wildcats, who they're down there with Nebraska really for the bottom two in the conference this year. I think the number's probably right, but I'm not running to the window or running to the app to bet Maryland, though, laying those points.
How much does the home court matter for LSU tonight as they host Florida? I think Florida, long run, is a better team than LSU.
I agree.
But Florida hasn't, and maybe Florida's offered the buy sign in this last game because they whacked Auburn. I'm not crazy about the spot coming off that game and now going to Baton Rouge.
You know, you don't want to really call it a total hoagie sandwich spot type here because LSU is a quality club.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're just going to be like, okay, we can just roll in and give a B effort and beat these guys. But you defeat Auburn, who came off that undefeated streak getting broken at Alabama, but was still a top five team. And then you get Baylor in there on Saturday. And I like this Florida club, but LSU is one of those teams. I like to bet these teams in the you ever see in the polls where they have the also receiving votes category and they're just outside of the top 25 and they've won several games in a row, as has LSU has done, winning six in a row. I like to usually bet on those teams, so I have not bet this. My lean, though, would be the Tigers.
Yeah, I would agree with that based on the spot. Speaking of spots, I don't see this very often. The Duke Blue Devils are off back-to-back losses. They're off two straight losses. They already beat Miami by about 1,000. They might do it again tonight at Cameron. This is not a good spot for Miami.
Yeah, it's lay it or pass for me. Miami did take Florida State to overtime. Yeah. Probably should have won the game outright Saturday. Yeah,
they might have caught Florida State a little bit.
Yeah,
flat
they caught them absolutely flat, and that's why I took them in that spot. But Florida State did what they do. And look, you can make an argument Florida State might be the best team in the ACC, at least
today. They're
the most
athletic team, which is not a surprise because Leonard Hamilton is great at recruiting guys who can really get up and down the court.
Yeah.
They can play.
They get off the bus, and it's like, how do these dudes ever lose a game?
I know. They're awful. And you know, look, they're going to be a factor come tournament time.
Yeah.
I think Florida State's going to be a solid NCAA tournament team that has a decent chance to be playing on the second weekend.
I do, too. For me, in this game, it's lay it or nothing. Probably going to be nothing for me.
How about some the Jets? I mean, there's so many big games tonight. How about some others that might have caught your eye, either big or small?
You know, there's a couple. One is a Mountain West game, 8 o'clock tip, 645, 646, Air Force and Utah State. It is tough, and we were talking about this over the break, to get a real buy sign on Utah State. It's gone up to 14. I still think there's a little bit of value there. Utah State, of course, blew that game to Boise State on Saturday, but they're getting an Air Force team who actually whacked them 2 weeks ago tonight.
They beat them by like 19.
Yeah, 79-60. Utah State was brutal. If there's a spot for Utah State to get right, because now the schedule kind of eases up a little bit. You get Air Force at home, Colorado State at home, and then at Wyoming before you get that rematch at Viejas with San Diego State. So this is the time for Utah State to at least put a couple wins together and show a pulse. And I think this is kind of the buy low spot, even though you're having to lay 14 to do it for Utah State. I think they should be able to lay out Air Force tonight. And if there's not, then the problems are even bigger than we expect.
If you like good teams coming off a loss, Mid-American Conference, you got Akron swinging back in action. I think it's tonight. It might be tomorrow.
At Miami of Ohio?
Okay. And Akron off a loss. And they're not going to lose many in the MAC this year. So that might be bad news for Miami because they're probably going to catch an Akron team that's pretty focused tonight after losing to Toledo over the weekend.
One other one that I did like, and I went ahead and took a shot with Ole Miss at 7. Tennessee, you know, has been okay, but their point guard's out, Lamonte Turner now, and they haven't really been the same. They did get a win at Vanderbilt on Saturday. And
you better win at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, absolutely got to pick on that team with Jerry Stackhouse in his first year. Ole Miss has been the big disappointment in this conference. They've lost five in a row.
I'm shocked because I'm a big Kermit Davis fan.
Yeah, he's a really good coach.
And he did a great job with that team last year. I thought, you know, he completely changed the culture at Ole Miss because the Rebels prior to that played defense only by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I mean, it was a much different team. I don't know what the issue is this year because on paper they look like an okay squad, and it's just not happening for them.
No, and it hasn't, and I'm taking a shot with them tonight getting around 7. I think there's some 6.5s out there too, but it's more of a play against Tennessee maybe than it is with playing on Ole Miss because Ole Miss is in horrible form right now.
On the ice tonight, the big game for us locally involves the Vegas Golden Knights. They are in Boston as they continue their road trip against the Bruins. One win and one shootout loss for the Golden Knights in the DeBoer regime, so he still maintains the best career winning percentage of any Golden Knights coach of all time. We'll see if that holds after tonight. They're going into Boston on the wrong night. Let's put it that way. The Bruins have to be sore after losing a 3-0 lead against the Penguins and blowing the game 4-3 in regulation. Kind of a shocking loss by the Bruins. And yet, interestingly, the third time this year, I believe they've blown a 3-goal lead and lost the game. So I have no explanation as to why that is. It shouldn't be happening with them. The Golden Knights have to get out of the gate tonight. Because I can tell you this, if the Bruins get ahead tonight by multi-goals, they're not going to blow another lead.
Yeah, and this is, this is a team that you got to beat to prove if you're a real, I think, threat in the playoffs, even though this is a team in the other conference clear across the country. You got to go in and find a way to win some of these games.
They have yet to beat the Bruins, by the way.
No, they haven't. So this is an elite team that you would expect Bruins to at least get to maybe the East Finals. They're going to be there down the stretch in the East, clearly. But this is a big spot for the Golden Knights. In terms of hockey tonight, lean a little bit with the Flyers at home, even though Pittsburgh's been red hot, even though I did bet them on the futures market at 18-1 about a week and a half ago.
You might be live on that one. This team is... there's no quit in this team at all.
Yeah.
They are just relentless. And the injury situation, and they lost another guy in the game against the Bruins. It's just unbelievable, the next man up mentality that they've had all season long.
Justin Schultz,
he got a concussion. He's going to be out for a bit.
He will be out, of course. Gunsel, Dumoulin, Bustad, those guys have all been out. They do got Sid the Kid back, so
that
matters.
Yep.
That absolutely matters.
And Malkin's playing at a silly level. I mean, he's just been great.
But I do lean a little bit to the Flyers at the price tonight. It's about a little south of $1.20.
The interesting game tonight, I think the most interesting game on the board, is the Florida Panthers at the Chicago Blackhawks.
Coach Q comes back home.
You've got that. So you know that the Panthers are going to be fired up to try and win for him. Blackhawks are going to be fired up because it's their former coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackhawks are on fire. They've won 4 in a row and have suddenly climbed back into contention in the Western Conference. The Panthers, great comeback win yesterday. A lot of it fueled by Alex Stalock, who just gave up a terrible fourth goal for Minnesota, and it really hurt me.
Did you think that was a high sticking last night on that deciding goal?
I thought it was 50-50.
It was very close.
Got to go with the call on the ice. If you didn't see it, the winning goal for Florida was with 5 seconds left. And it might have been a high stick, but here's the reason. And I had the Wild in the game, so I was not happy with the decision. But when I watched the replay, it looked to me like the stick got pushed up by the Wild defender. So to me, call stands was the right call. Anyway, that's a game the Wild blew, and the Panthers stole 2 points last night. Maintains their momentum going into Chicago.
Yeah,
this is a good game tonight.
Five in a row as well in their own right. So the Hawks, I think it's about -110, -115. So pretty much a pick 'em game.
There you go. Good one to watch. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Marco D'Angelo with tonight's marquee matchup next.
For more angles and information, follow Ralph Michaels at Cal Sports LV on Twitter.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk Marquee Matchup of the Night with Marco D'Angelo. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
I think I have it figured out by now. Yeah. All right, I'm 0-1 on the day. I just attempted to fire a styrofoam cup into the nearby wastebasket and wide left. Wide, just Bob Uecker would say just a bit outside.
James Harden-esque shooting from yesterday from deep as he was 1-for-17 yesterday for the Rockets.
Yeah, that's worse than 0-for-1. Marco D'Angelo with us right now from WagerTalk.com to talk about one of the big games on tonight's schedule. It's our marquee matchup. Villanova playing host to Butler, Marco.
Yeah, Dave, you look at this game here, you got a couple top teams battling it out, and you look at it, number 9, Villanova, playing host to Butler, number 13. Butler's on the free fall right now, though. They lost back-to-back games, Dave. They got as high as 5th in the ranking, and when they went to Seton Hall with that gaudy number 5 ranking, they came up with a loss. And Dave, you talk about it so many times in sports, teams can lose the same game twice. And I think that's what happened in the DePaul game, because very uncharacteristic of this Butler team. They gave up a season high in points. They were very sloppy with the basketball. They had 17 turnovers in the game. DePaul shot an incredible 10 of 17 from three. And the game was at DePaul. Might even had a little home cooking there in DePaul, because DePaul got to the foul line 32 times in that game, making 25 of them, where Butler only got to the foul line 19 times. They did make 15 of the 19. Now, after back-to-back losses, I think you'll see a very focused effort tonight from Butler. And this is a Butler defense that is 5th nationally in points allowed, 57.1 points per game, and they're 15th in shooting percentage allowed, allowing just 37% shooting against them on the year. And the last part of this, Dave, this is something me and you kind of talk about off and on the air and off the air. Can't put a stat to this, but it's just a feel. I'm looking at Villanova. They're 9-0 straight up at home this year, and the number's only 3.5. It just like something just somebody left the fish out a little bit too long. Something smells fishy here. I'm going to go ahead and take Butler plus the points. I'm going to call for the outright upset. Butler, 65-62.
And that means we have a little consensus in the studio, because, Wes, you also like Butler.
We do, and I agree with all of Marco's analysis, and he made kind of a similar point I made earlier. When they lost to Seton Hall and then they had to go to DePaul, they got DePaul at a bad time, because DePaul had a high sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. They were winless in the league after that really hot start, and DePaul caught him at home. And I like what Marco is saying here. You're buying low, because all of a sudden Butler loses two games, and all of a sudden I've seen on social media, fraud, they're terrible, they're not that good. Well,
and
they
you're
are
getting
really
more
good.
Points than you yes. would have gotten. This is, if Butler doesn't lose the two games, Marco, this line's what? Villanova 1.
Yeah,
so you're getting value.
Even though, you know, I'm saying it 9-0 and seeing it at 3 still kind of looks inviting to take Villanova to the average better, but we are getting value, as you point out there, Dave.
Speaking of value, it's immense on Tuesdays at Wager Talk, because you're going to get a hot handicapper at either Wager Talk or Sports Memo, and you'll get their best stuff for just $2.
Yeah, and you speak about hot. The $2 capper is Tony Finn. All I can say, it's a good thing Tony's not a horse, because I don't think he would pass the post-race drug test. But the guy is hotter than anybody right now at Wager Talk, and you can get his best bet for $2 tonight. And we have the same deal over at our sister site at Sports Memo. We have a featured capper there as well for $2. It's always a good time. $2 Tuesday at both sites.
I have to ask you, because you'll know. I know Kelly Stewart's on vacation, and pictures of an exotic-looking locale from a beach chair. Where is she anyway? I thought
Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Reno.
No. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, Dave. I missed those spots when I went to Reno.
Yeah, me too. All right, Marco. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one.
Marco D'Angelo. Follow him on Twitter at Marco in Vegas. What do we got left? About a minute? Okay, so I guess we will head to our Lions Physical Therapy Play of the Day.
It's the LPT Play of the Day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy. your five-star rated specialists.
Remember, if you're in need of physical rehabilitation, go to the place with the best ratings. They're independent ratings by people like you and me. Not me, because I don't have anything to rehab. But those who do love the work done at Lions Physical Therapy. At Lions PTLV on Twitter, LionsPTLV.com is the website. I said the game I liked is Kansas, but that line's long gone, so I'll let you take it, Wes.
All right. Let's go ahead. You know what? Let's go ahead and go with the Purdue Boilermakers tonight. -5.5 over the Fighting Illini.
Solid revenge spot from a 26-point loss earlier this season absorbed by the Boilermakers in an embarrassing performance against this opponent. We'll see if the revenge comes through. Thanks to Jeff Sherman from Superbook USA. Follow Jeff on Twitter at GolfBuds. You can follow Wes Reynolds at WesReynolds1. You can follow me at Dave Koken, and we hope you'll follow us to this show tomorrow, because Kenny White will be on with power ratings and projections on the Wednesday edition of the Las Vegas Sportsline.